Hello, everyone. Long time no see. Now, I saw a lot of you last night, didn't I? It's nice to be with you again. Hello, Stillness Zoe. She gets special attention because I just hung up from talking to her on the phone. Hey, pal. Okay, so I think I'm supposed to be serious because I'm sure Lynn was joking around and now you want somebody serious, right? Right, a change of pace. So let's see if I can manage that. I'm sure I can. After the prayer, somebody's sitting next to me whispering, "Say hi to my mom." Hello, Francine. Okay, so we are here for Holy Spirit Guides, and that is the period of time that is set aside each Sunday for me to go through the personal messages that Holy Spirit has given me to be helpful to me, which are mostly all of them archived at reginadonacres.com. And right now we're in a series of messages that were actually given to Laurent and me, not just me, in order to be helpful to us. And we're looking at messages from September 2007. And the message that I have right now that we're going to be looking at next is a little message called "You Are in Gratitude Always." So what I'm going to do is give you all a link to the message. Everybody's saying hi to you, Danielle. She says hi. And it is just Danielle and me. Jasmine is upstairs, but Stephanie has left. Stephanie was here for the weekend. It was a lot of fun having her here. But she lives in Denver, so she's gone back to Denver. What I'm going to do is say a prayer, and then we'll go and look at the messages that we have to look at for the next hour and see what gifts are awaiting us. How's that sound? All right, here we go. Holy Spirit, I'm supposed to stop laughing when the prayer starts. No, I guess not. Because this is what I feel inside right now. I feel laughter inside. I feel giggles inside. If I was to paint a picture, there'd probably be a little blonde girl in a white dress chasing after butterflies on a sunny day. That's kind of how I feel. Rested. I feel rested and happy. And maybe I just don't have anything to say right now. Yeah, what I feel now is just taking a moment to go into a deeper restfulness. If I was to paint a picture now, I am emerging myself under a pool of water. And still flowers under the water, growing with long, long stems, floating up towards the sunlight. But I am going down and down and down and settling into the stillness. Thank you. Amen. All right. Here we are. And I've given you all a link. I forgot to look. I try to keep my eye on the number of people in the room so I know when new people have entered. And I forgot to look, so I'll just give you the link again. So there's the link to the message that we're going to look at. And it is called "You Are in Gratitude Always." I don't have a particular story to tell about when this message came. I don't remember any particular story. It was still Let's see, it came in early September, so it was still shortly after Laurent arrived in North Carolina. Okay, so let's just see what the message says. Gratitude is a powerful force. Gratitude is much more powerful within your universe than most people realize, although many are beginning to recognize its benefits. Gratitude is an energy field of extension. Anything you feel gratitude for extends or becomes more within your awareness. What most people don't seem to realize is that gratitude is a constant energy field. It doesn't come and go as you feel the feelings of gratitude. Gratitude is a natural aspect of the Son of God. You are always in an attitude of gratitude and extending that which you are grateful for now. So probably one thing that's most important about this first paragraph is many of us thinking with a human mind, we would think of gratitude maybe as a feeling or an emotion, right? We would think that sometimes we feel grateful and other times we do not feel grateful. So sometimes we are in gratitude and sometimes we are not in gratitude. And what Spirit is saying is that this is not true. This is not true. Gratitude is a constant field. And that we are always extending within our own awareness that which we are feeling grateful for. All right, I'll move on to the next paragraph. You are grateful for that which your mind dwells on. It may seem to dwell in fear or worry, anger or resentment, hopefulness or hopelessness. But if the mind dwells on it, it dwells in gratitude. Again, for many of us, this might be an important lesson. Because whatever it is that we are thinking about all of the time, we might not be aware that we're actually extending that in our own experience by dwelling on it. You know, it's funny, today we went to the place that we call our church. It's actually a coffee shop along the river. It's a beautiful place here in Pueblo. And there's a small group of us that go there every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock to study NTI. We call it our church. And this morning we went to our church and we studied NTI 2 Timothy chapter 2. I know that you guys often hear me talk about NTI, Romans chapter 2, and I say that it's a very important chapter in NTI. To be honest, NTI 2 Timothy chapter 2 is a very important chapter also. It's the one chapter that every now and then I will tell people that this chapter will save your life. NTI 2 Timothy chapter 2 is about fear. And you know, lots of people experience fear. Maybe almost everybody. And what they think they want is to get rid of fear. But what Spirit tells us in 2 Timothy is that that might not be true. I'm going to read to you just a little bit from 2 Timothy chapter 2. If any of you eyes out there want to read along, just grab NTI and open up to page 384. And I want to read a little bit to you from NTI, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Starting with sentence 2 underneath verses 1 to 7, so right underneath the italics part, Holy Spirit says, you protect your fear. You protect it because you believe it protects you. You believe that there is something worse than fear beneath your fear, and so you protect your fear by keeping it in storage. But you will not find your release this way. Now I'm going to skip over to page 385, verses 8 to 10. You fear that to let loose your fear and experience it also is also to come to the foothold of destruction. I'll read that again. You fear that to let loose your fear and experience it is also to come to the foothold of destruction. You believe that to step to that place and not be destroyed, you must hold to the last remaining shred of fear. In other words, you truly believe fear is your salvation. This is why you hold to it. Now, it's funny because right now we're reading a message about gratitude. And Holy Spirit is telling us we're always in gratitude, whether we have those feelings or not. And Holy Spirit is telling us what we're really feeling grateful for is whatever our mind is dwelling on. That's what we're feeling grateful for. You know, we don't think of ourselves as feeling grateful for fear. In fact, people might even give you a dirty look if you told them that the reason they're always afraid is because they're grateful for fear, right? That's just not something that makes sense. But what Spirit is doing in NTI 2 Timothy chapter 2 is really pointing out to us why we feel grateful for fear. He's saying that we feel grateful for fear because we believe that fear is there to save us, to keep us from making some major mistake that will cause us unending suffering, doom, destruction, death, right? And I have definitely looked at this. I have definitely looked at this, and I have seen from my own experience that it's true. That when fear is grabbing a hold of me, fear is saying in one way or another, don't walk that way. Don't do that. Don't go there. And it seems like, although it may not always be very specific, it seems like it's trying to warn me, like a friend, right? It's trying to warn me that if I go that way, something bad is going to happen. And because I believe that, I'm actually grateful for fear. I feel that fear is my friend. Fear keeps me safe. And the truth is, I want that fear very, very much. In fact, what I'm most afraid of, what scares the crap out of me, is the idea of not being afraid. There's this idea in my mind that if I have no fear, well, it's like being naked in the world. If I have no fear, then I have no warning system. I have nothing to keep me safe, protect me. I know a lot of people that are afraid. I mean, I talk to a lot of people on the phone, and I know a lot of people that are afraid. I see people not making decisions that they're really feeling guided towards, decisions that are in their best interest, decisions that are moving them to the next place they need to go. And I watch them not make those decisions because of fear. And what I realize is fear is not protecting them. Fear is holding them back. Zoe says, I'm talking about her. But I'm talking about all of us until we learn this lesson. I think it's really important, not a little important. I think it's really important that we stop and look and acknowledge, truly acknowledge through our own experience. Now take time to actually look at it if you don't believe me now, right? If you don't believe me now, start noticing. Notice that you love fear. Notice that you trust fear. Notice that you're grateful for fear because you think it protects you. Let's see, hold on one second. I see something I'm supposed to read, but I can't see it. I got to move this. Oh, here we go. Donna is saying, Regina, when I looked at my mind after church, I saw I am afraid if I do this, and at the same time, I am afraid if I don't. Can you comment? Do you mean if you're afraid? You're afraid to look at fear and you're afraid not to look at fear, Donna? Is that what you're saying? I am afraid to make a choice and afraid not to. Yeah, well, one thing that fear will do is fear will sometimes paralyze us. Like I remember... the first time I saw this is when a friend of mine called, and this friend of mine had been, she was a new course student. By new, I mean she'd been in the course about 8 months, not a real long time. And what she had done for the last 8 months is she was totally absorbed by the course. And, she just spent all day, every day reading it. You know how that can happen, right? And after about 8 months, she looked up and apparently her house had gotten pretty messed up in the last 8 months while she wasn't paying attention to it. She actually lived at that time in a house without an actual heating system like many of us have. And she would have to bring in wood to keep the fire going, to keep warm. And of course, anybody who's ever done that, that carrying wood in all the time can really, little pieces fall and your house can get very messy. And then burning a fire all the time, there can be like this dust, right? So, she'd just been so absorbed at the course. I'm sure she was probably doing dishes, stuff like that. But all of the other stuff that didn't seem as immediate, she wasn't doing. And she looked up one day and the house was a mess. And the first thought that came to her mind was that it's time to clean the house now. And then the next thought that came to her mind was that she should be able to accept it dirty. And in fact, that second thought really came with this idea of if she can't accept it dirty, she's bad. She's a bad course student. And so then, as she continued to just look at this and look at this, she became paralyzed. She felt like she started judging herself for the house being dirty, and she felt like she was bad if she didn't clean it. But she also judged herself for the desire to get up and clean the house. And she felt she was bad if she wanted to do that. So she was paralyzed. What happened, right? What happened is that a simple prompt came into her mind. And if she had not thought at all beyond that simple prompt, she would have been able to get up and clean the house, and then go back to the course, right? But what happened was that she sat and thought about it so much, thinking with the ego, which is thinking with judgment, that she ended up judging herself on both sides of that story, and then she was paralyzed. So if we're paralyzed, what's really happened is that we've spent too much time thinking. And we've kind of dug ourselves down into a little hole. The best thing to do then is to recognize I'm in a hole. And to recognize, in her case, that was guilt. What you're saying, Don, is that it's fear. To recognize the message that we're believing now, the message that I'm guilty, or the message that there is something to fear. And to spend time just letting go of that message. Not trying to make a decision. For right now, the idea of making a decision needs to be abandoned completely. And instead, I need to work with spirit to let go of the guilt, or work with spirit to let go of the fear. I need to return to a state of peace or clarity. And then what spirit has always told me is when I get back to that state of peace or clarity, then do what I feel to do. Right? And don't go back into the thinking again. Remember, my friend started with a simple prompt. That simple prompt still lives, but it's completely covered up by the what Dove is calling an analysis paralysis. And so we have to take time to let go of the fear or the guilt. And then get back to just what we feel to do. Okay, let's see what Donna says here. Because I know she's speaking for what we all go through at some point. She says, I am guilty no matter what I do. Yes, that is my current experience. Yes, I see. I really only want to look at my guilt, not the form. Yeah, let go of that. You can't make a decision from where you're at now. So now the next step is to let go of the guilt. And then when you return to that peace that you know, that peace, that joy, that clarity, then do whatever you feel to do. Now, let's go back to the message. Spirit is telling us that gratitude is not a feeling. That gratitude is a constant energy field, is the word that is being used. It's a constant energy field that we are always in gratitude. And whatever we are having gratitude for expands within our awareness. And what we are having gratitude for is whatever we are letting our mind dwell on. And he gives us some examples. It could be fear. It could be worry, which is really just another form of fear. Anger, resentment. It could be hopefulness. It could be hopelessness. But if the mind dwells on it, it dwells in gratitude. And then we just read from 2 Timothy chapter 2, where Holy Spirit is helping us to see why we let our mind dwell on fear. Why? We're grateful for fear. Because we have a belief that it will save us, right? That it keeps us safe. That fear is our friend and it's warning us of impending disaster. Of course, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Holy Spirit continues by saying, and this is the second paragraph underneath verses 8 to 10, but fear is not your salvation. Fear is the opposite of salvation. To realize this, you must be willing to experience that which you fear and let it go. By experiencing fear and not perishing, you learn that you cannot perish. This understanding taken to heart is a true glimpse of who you are. So, what Spirit is saying is that if fear is telling you not to walk that way, or if fear is telling you not to let this happen, to do something to stop this thing from happening, what may be most helpful to you is to walk that way. Walk right through the fear and walk the direction it's telling you not to go. Or take your hands off the wheel, stop trying to control everything, and let this thing happen. And of course, if you choose to do that, fear freaks out. Man, does it freak out. Huh, Zoe? Fear freaks out. Stop, stop, stop. You're going to die. You're going to die. Stop, stop, stop. You're going to die. You're going to die. But if you don't listen to that, if you don't listen to that, what you learn is that that wasn't true. And what you learn is fear never was trying to protect you. Fear was trying to hold you. Now I'm going to go back to the message, starting with the third paragraph. This is a useful way for you to see today. Okay, Spirit is talking directly to me. While Laurent was in my house, right, hasn't been there long. And what's really going on in my mind at this time, I've told you guys the story, but just a reminder, what's really going on at my time is what we could call anger or resentment. I'm not really afraid of anything at this point. There's not a feeling of fear. But I am resenting the hell out of Laurent being there. I'm resenting what he's saying to me. I'm resenting the way he's living in my house. And my mind is focused on this resentment almost nonstop at this point. And what Spirit is trying to tell me is that this feeling of resentment is going to expand. It's going to get bigger in my awareness if I continue to focus on it. And so he says, this is a useful way for you to see today. Stop many times throughout your day, as often as you remember, and ask yourself what you are feeling gratitude for now. Simply observe where the mind dwells. Observe the emotions that accompany the thoughts. Then remember that you are in a mindset of gratitude. Ask if that which you are thinking and that which you are feeling is that which you are truly grateful for. If not, it is a simple shift of mind to shift into that for which you truly are grateful. The shift is more than a shift in feelings. It is a shift in power. It is a shift in experience. It is a shift in everything that you desire to shift now. And then he says, blessings upon you today. Remember that you are in gratitude always. Now I will tell you guys that if I had if I had taken this message, just this one message, and I had been consistent about watching my mind and my feelings, remembering that I'm always in gratitude, asking myself, is this what I want to be grateful for? Well, then the rest of the story would have been different. The rest of the story would have been different. Because my mind was very focused on resentment at this time. And what I was doing, although I didn't know it then, you know, now I look back, I have hindsight 20/20, right? What I was doing was I was building resentment within me. It was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I was literally creating a monster. If I had stopped every time the resentment came up in me, notice the feeling of resentment. And notice that this isn't how I wanted to feel. Remember that I'm having gratitude by dwelling on it. Remember what I truly want, which we call often the peace of God, right? And shifted, like Spirit is recommending in this message, my future would have been different. And I will tell you, I'm sure I did that a little. And I think that's probably the mistake most of us make, is we practice this stuff somewhat. You know, A Course in Miracles asks us to be vigilant for the kingdom. What I have learned through my own practice is when I am consistent, I get results. But if I only do it somewhat, if I remember 4 or 5 times today to watch my mind and to remember what I truly want to be grateful for and make the shift, and the rest of the time I continue to allow my mind to dwell on resentment, well, to be honest, I don't really get those results. In fact, I'll tell you a little bit about what happened, all right? Somewhere between here and the message of the code. And it's the message of the code that's eventually coming that really did help me to start making this shift in a more consistent way, okay? But after this message, although I got it somewhat and I practiced it somewhat, for the most part, I continued to let my mind dwell on resentment. And so what happened is exactly what Spirit said would happen. This resentment expanded in my experience. It got bigger, and it got bigger, and it got bigger. And I remember one night in the grocery store. I mean, it sounds like a ridiculous story, and it is a ridiculous story. One of the things that I resented about Laurent, okay, was the way he spent money. I had always been what I considered frugal. I was even quite proud of how frugal I was. I never considered myself cheap. I felt like I did know when to spend money, but I also knew when not to, right? I was very, and I knew how to make choices that would keep money in the budget so it could be spent on other things that I preferred more, right? Well, my perception, of course, was that Laurent had a different value system. Laurent seemed to enjoy the finer things. He got pleasure out of the finer things. Maybe he even identified with the finer things. Yeah, Prince Laurent. And there were lots of things he spent money on that really bothered me, and I spent a lot of time thinking about it with resentment. You know, like not only did he buy bottled water, but he had to buy the most expensive bottled water. It seemed like whenever he reached for anything on the grocery shelf, and at this time he and Jasmine and I were all going grocery shopping together, so when he reached, I had to watch. Whenever he reached for anything on the grocery shelf, he always reached for the most expensive. And to quote, make it even worse, and of course this isn't true, it wasn't worse. What was happening is all of this was for my healing, but I'm speaking from the ego's point of view now, please understand, because I was watching this from the ego's point of view at that time. To make it even worse, Jasmine started learning from him. And so I'm walking through the store with Laurent and Jasmine, each grabbing the most expensive option that they could grab. And I had a meltdown of meltdowns. In fact, I don't remember ever having a meltdown this big before in my life. Are you ready? When the butter that I bought was 97 cents. And we've been using the same butter for years. I liked the butter. Jasmine liked the butter. And Laurent reached up and grabbed some butter that, oh, I don't know, was $2.50. $2.50, guys, we're talking about. And I hated him so much in that moment for grabbing that butter that I couldn't even stand there and watch. I walked away. Laurent may remember this. I walked away from him and Jasmine. I didn't say a word. I walked away. I went all the way to the other end of Walmart. And Walmart, has these benches. And I sat down on a bench. And there was so much hate. So much hate. It was unbelievable, really, how much hate I was feeling. I think if I remember correctly, Laurent, you and Jasmine actually finished shopping not knowing where I was. Do you remember this? You finished the shopping. You went and you paid for the groceries. And I still was nowhere to be found. And you even tried paging me, if I remember correctly. And I couldn't come because I hated so much because of that $2.50 butter. Finally, I did come. You guys waited out in the parking lot or somewhere, and I came and got in the car, and we went home. Now, this sounds, it may sound like not a good story, but actually, this is a very happy story now, because this situation woke me up to what I was doing. It shocked me. It shocked me. The level of hate that I felt shocked me, but it also woke me up. But this message that we're reading now, came weeks before that happened, weeks before the butter incident. And do you know how we got to the butter incident? Was by me not taking this message as seriously as I could have. I mean, it's okay. In the end, it all worked out. But I took this message lightly. It's a simple little message. Look at it, guys. It's a simple little message, right? It's not some deep spiritual book that's 1,000 pages long. It's a simple little message. And you know what? I took it lightly. I didn't listen. I didn't practice. And I continued to let those resentment thoughts in my mind build and build and build until I felt so much hate. Well, I didn't know that I was capable of hating that much, to be honest. So I guess the reason I'm telling this story is because, Jesus says in A Course in Miracles that we can learn from his experience. We don't have to go through the same things that he went through. That's what he says. Doesn't mean we won't, but he says we don't have to. You can learn from me if you want to. You don't have to get to the point where you're ready to murder someone because they grabbed butter that cost $2.50. Instead, you could decide not to take this message lightly. Instead, you could choose to do what Spirit is recommending. I mean, look, let's look at this last paragraph, or second to last paragraph, okay? Let's look at this. You could choose. Spirit says, this is a useful way for you to see today. Look at this. This is a useful way for you to see today. Stop many times. Not 3, 4, 5. Stop many times throughout your day. As often as you remember. And you know, how often we remember is going to really come from how much we want to remember, to be honest. And it is okay to write a note on your hand and say, remember to look at your mind. That's not cheating. Stop many times throughout your day, as often as you remember, and ask yourself, what are you feeling gratitude for now? simply observe where the mind dwells. Observe the emotions that accompany the thoughts. Then remember that you are in a mindset of gratitude, right? Whether you're feeling gratitude or not, remember you're there. You're feeling grateful for whatever you're letting yourself think about. And ask if that which you are thinking and that which you are feeling is that which you are truly grateful for. If not, it is a simple shift of mind to shift into that which you truly are grateful. The shift is more than a shift in feelings. It is a shift in power. It is a shift in experience. It is a shift in everything that you desire to shift now. And then he says, blessings upon you today. Remember that you are in gratitude always. A simple little message. So small. Not overly profound, you know, it's not talking about reincarnation or, you know, any deep, intellectual, exciting, spiritual stuff. And yet if we did just this alone, our entire experience would change. All right. Now maybe you won't take the message as lightly as I did. let's see. We have 20 minutes left. Let's just see what happens. We have another message here. I'm going to give you guys the link, or if you're in the last message, you can actually just go to the top and you can click on the name of the next message and it will take you there. It's called Healing Fear One Step at a Time. And I'll just start reading the message. Holy Spirit asks, this is like an exercise. Sometimes Holy Spirit showed up with Laurent and me with like these little exercises for us to do. This was like an exercise. Holy Spirit says, what scares you at the level of experience? What idea do you fear the most? Pick one or two. Okay, so let's not go crazy with this long list. Pick one or two things that you're really afraid of. In fact, the next sentence, it is not helpful to work on too many things at once, so pick one or two key fears and prepare to let go of those fears now. Then he says, letting go of fear is conscious work. It will take vigilance and attention on your part. Vigilance and attention are an offspring of willingness, so it is especially helpful to focus on your willingness to heal your most common or most fearful fears. And this is kind of what I said about the previous message. You know, Spirit told us to stop and look at our mind as often as we remember. And I said, how often we remember will actually come from our willingness. And Spirit's saying the same thing here. He's saying that your vigilance and your attention are an offspring of your willingness. So it's really helpful to focus on your willingness to heal your most common fears, right? Your most fearful fears. If you focus on your willingness, then that's going to help you with your vigilance and your attention. Then he says, the ego will try to block healing. I think we've learned that from our own experience, right, gang? The ego will try to block healing. It may tell you that you are guilty for picking fears that represent the level of the world. Let this obstacle go. This comes from the intellectual conquering of A Course in Miracles. At least it did for me, and maybe for Laurent as well. You know, where if I'm afraid of running out of money, for example, you know, something about the way I read the Course with the ego, something tells me that's not good enough. I'm really afraid of death. I'm really afraid of God. And instead of looking at the level that I experience the fear, I go automatically and falsely, by the way, because I'm not reaching it through experience. automatically and falsely, intellectually to what I fear is God. You know what? That's not my experience. My experience is I'm afraid of running out of money. And Spirit wants me to stay right back there for now. Let's not falsely, through intellectual study, go to I fear God if that's not my experience. If it is my experience, that's cool, right? If I'm really in touch with the fact that I fear God, well, then that's cool. But let's not intellectually make up our fears based on metaphysics. Let's look at what we fear, or at least what we think we fear. All right? So he says, the ego will try to block healing. It may tell you that you are guilty for picking fears that represent the level of the world. Let this obstacle go. I tell you, everything in the world is representative of a deeper fear in the mind. Belief, or experience level fear, is directly linked to its root. If you keep this in mind as you heal your most instinctive fears, you will also have confidence that you are healing the root. In this way, the entire plant is transformed and springs up through the soil anew. So what he's telling me is I don't have to intellectually say I fear God. I can say I fear loss of money. I fear loss of money. And I can work with Holy Spirit for the healing of that fear. Right? And that, you know, it's kind of like when you ever spray weeds in the yard? You know, if you spray weeds with reed spray, you don't spray the root. You spray the leaves. But within a week, it kind of works its way down through the plant to the roots, and the entire weed dies. That's kind of what Spirit is saying here. He's saying, let's go ahead and spray the leaves. It'll work its way down to the root. All right? So if your fear is about loss of money, then let's look at that. And let's give willingness for that to be healed, that fear. He continues, he says, as I have said, pick one or two strong fears. To heal these fears, we are going to give them special attention now. We do this by being willing, in freedom and innocence, to give this special attention, knowing the special attention is a stepping stone to total healing. Hold confidence in this thought. So he really knew that Laurent and I, or Laurent or I, would really be tempted by this intellectual ego that we should be working on something deeper. We should be working on our fear of God, right? Not this surface fear. And so he keeps telling us over and over, we aren't guilty for working on what seems to be a surface fear. In fact, it's through our innocence that we're going to work on this fear. And be aware that as we work on this fear, we're healing. We're healing. Hold confidence in this thought, he says. And just remember the image of spraying weeds. You spray the leaves, and it works all the way down to the root. Now he's going to tell us how to do it, okay? Now that we're, you know, not being quite so intellectual, a little more honest about what we seem to fear at the level of form. Now he's going to tell us what to do. Says, first, be alert to chosen fears when they arise in the mind. Remember your desire to heal those fears now. Let go of the image in the mind that is fearful and replace it with another image or idea that brings you joy. I just remembered my fear at the time. I didn't have any idea, but it just popped in. Let go of the image in the mind that is fearful and replace it with another image or idea that brings you joy. You will know which image to replace the old image with. Do not doubt yourself or judge yourself for your selection. Instead, dwell joyfully on your newly selected image, realizing that this image is a symbol for the healing of fear. All right, so how naked do I get? I guess all the way. And I'm not joking here, because that was my fear. My fear was Laurent seeing me naked. That was my greatest fear at that point. I mean, Laurent and I were not at all intimate at this point. He was staying in the guest room. He'd only been there a couple of weeks. I didn't know him well. You know, we weren't intimate. But I knew that we were guided to be a couple. And I knew that at some point, you know, if things went the way they were intended to go, that the form of the relationship would change. And I was terrified of him seeing me naked, because I was, what I later learned as I, you know, looked at this fear more and more, is that I was really terrified. It really did get to a metaphysical level as I continued to look at it, but it got there honestly. But I was really terrified that he would be the one that would look at me and know just how unworthy I really am. Right? He would be the one. He would be the witness. He would be the one to look at me and know just how unworthy I really am. And I would see it in his eyes. And that would be the end of me being able to pretend that it wasn't true. I would not be able to escape that knowledge of my unworthiness ever again. There would never be another moment's break. So that was my fear. I don't know what Laurent's fear was. I don't know if he told me. If he did, I forgot. I almost forgot my own, so I'm sure I forgot his. But that was mine. So, his fear was for me to see him naked? Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I do think we shared that, didn't we? That's why, to be honest, now I'm going to tell another little secret. Recently, we went to Israel, and we did not get naked together, by the way. But we did go swimming together. And even when Laurent and I were together, there was still being uncomfortable together, even in bathing suits, right, Laurent? And so when we went swimming together in the Dead Sea, I was just so happy because we were just both there swimming, having fun. And I know I told Laurent, like, two or three times afterwards, I love so much swimming with you. And that's why, because I really saw that swimming together in the Dead Sea as a symbol of the healing we've done with this fear, right? So I did love swimming with you in the Dead Sea. Sorry you got the salt in your eyes. And it had to be cut short. But it was wonderful. Okay, so let's go back to the message. We still have 7 minutes. All right, so first, be alert to chosen fears when they arise in the mind. Remember your desire to heal these fears now. Let go of the image in the mind that is fearful. We're talking rejection. Quit thinking about rejection. Remember the previous message? Do you remember the previous message? The previous message was, whatever you are dwelling on, you're feeling gratitude for, and it's going to extend within your own awareness. So what happens if I keep fearing rejection? First, be alert to chosen fears when they arise in the mind. Remember your desire to heal these fears now. Let go of the image in the mind that is fearful and replace it with another image or idea that brings you joy. And actually, the idea that brought me joy was what happened at the Dead Sea. The idea that brought me joy was the idea of Laurent and I being together without any of these bodily fears, these fears of rejection, just being together and enjoying each other without those fears. And I got that at the Dead Sea. Thank you, Laurent. But that's the image I was guided to replace it with. Just that innocent enjoyment of each other without fear. So first be alert to chosen fears when they arise in the mind. Remember your desire to heal these fears now. Let go of the image in the mind that is fearful and replace it with another image or idea that brings you joy. You will know which image to replace the old image with. Do not doubt yourself or judge yourself for your selection. Instead, dwell joyfully on your newly selected image, realizing that this image is a symbol. The image is a symbol for the healing of fear. And I knew that it was a symbol, so I knew that as I imagined Laurent and I, you know, enjoying each other without that bodily fear, I knew that it was a symbol. I knew that my happiness did not come from that, right? But I also knew that in order for me to be happy, truly happy, I had to let go of this fear that I was the most unworthy of all and that someone would be able to see that and that I would never be able to hide from it again. That had to be let go. Do you see? The healing of fear is all that you need now. When fear is healed, you will know thyself. There's a typo. You will know thyself without fear. In this knowledge are all things possible. In this knowledge is all joy possible. See yourself as one in learning. You are picking one or two fears in order to learn one step at a time that there is nothing to fear. Be a good student. Focus on your key fears by dreaming joyfully about the image that replaces them, which was the image of no fear. Be like a kid and play freely with the image. Be not concerned about the specific outcome. So again, it didn't matter if Laurent and I actually ever got to the point of enjoying each other without these bodily fears, right? That wasn't the point. We're not looking for that outcome, right? We're not looking for that outcome specifically. That's a symbol. What we're doing is we're ceasing to dwell on fear, and we're confidently turning our mind towards the idea that we can be fearless, that can be in our experience. So be not concerned about the specific outcome. Know that the outcome will be perfect joy and freedom from fear. Know this deeply in your heart. Trust yourself. Trust your visioning. And let go of your fear. Your rewards shall be great indeed. So again, a little exercise. And there is a part two to this, which we don't have time to cover. It's very small, but we'll have to save it for next week. So what I'm going to do then is say thank you guys. I used to be afraid of getting naked, and I just got naked in front of all of you. How nice is that? let's see. All right, I'm done. I know it's 2 minutes early, but I'm done. And I love you guys very much, and I will see you Wednesday morning. Those of you who can make it, I'll see you Wednesday morning. Okay, sorry somebody has to pick up the mic early. Bye.